Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Salsa Knox Porch Office.
Yes. What a great day. It's a beautiful day out here.
It's hot.
And we're keeping it real. Both just woke up. So,
Wait.
Okay. Me, I took a nap. All right. Today is a beautiful day. Why is it a beautiful day? Because today's tip.
It's Monday.
Yes. It is Monday. And Monday usually is one of the hardest days of the week to get going, to get inspired. We've done a lot of research, and it is proven that more people have strokes and heart attacks on Monday, right? So we want to continue our mission of educating and bringing you guys diversity and culture through our live webinars and a little bit of happiness, so maybe you can have a great day today on this fabulous Monday. All right. Today's topic, you can read above, right? Rich people thinking versus poor people thinking, okay? Again, all of the things that we discuss are a journey that Waldo and I are taking as part of our own growth process, and we invite you guys along on the journey to reflect, to give feedback, and to join in, okay? This is not us telling you necessarily, like Waldo always says, us telling you what to do and who to be and what is this and that. No, we are on a journey of our own happiness, of our own growth. So, we read something today that was really awesome, okay? There is a list of 17 ways that rich people, okay, think and act differently from poor and middle-class people even, okay? And we probably would consider ourselves maybe middle class. But how do wealthy people think differently? We talked a lot yesterday about inner circle, who are the five closest people around you, and you're a product of that. So how is it that they think differently? And we've come up with 17 ways through research and reading some different things. And we're going to focus on the first way that that they think differently. And we want to impart that to you. Just that you can be a little bit more aware. Because remember, awareness is kind of that space between your thoughts and your actions. So we've got to start changing our thinking. Okay. And before I get started, I do want to say this as a preface. One thing, if you really want to start changing your thinking, and today we're talking about financial topics, but this can relate to anything. Relationship, health, happiness, anything you want to do to make a change, you have to be open in your mind to doing so. You have to clear your mind. We've been doing a lot of different, you know, things with that. But you have to be willing to be aware and to hear where you are in the process. If you're not even willing to identify where you are, how can you grow? I'm going to give you a personal example before we get started today. Just today, somebody gave me some feedback that I interrupt Waldo a lot when he's talking. You can comment below. I think it was actually one of our videos. And she was like, girl, you need to stop interrupting him. I just have so much to say. But I do. I interrupt a lot. That's a problem. I have recognized it. I used to be in denial about it. But you have got to own up to things people are telling you. Even if they tell you in kind of a rude way, like, it could be truth. It could be real. So I'm opening up myself in this whole process to change, and I hope you do so too. We're going to be honest and vulnerable with you today. So, wealth file number one, okay? How do rich people think differently than poor and middle-class people? Here it is. Get ready. Drumroll, please. No drumroll. Okay. Rich people believe I create my life. Poor people believe this life happens to me. I'm going to read that one more time. Let that sink in. Don't have any immediate reaction to that. Let me just read it again. Rich people believe I create my own life. And poor people believe life happens to me. So how, if you're watching right now and you're like, I'm not really sure. I mean, that sounds really good. I know I create my life. There are some ways that you can, there's some clues to identify which way, which side that you're on, if this is you or not, besides are you wealthy, okay? We're talking about mindset, wealthy mindset, poor mindset, okay? So here's number one way to recognize whether you're a rich mindset or a poor mindset. Clue number one, the blame game. The blame game. When it comes to why rich people are rich, okay, victims, okay, the poor mindset will be victims. They will be professionals at the blame game. You want to know the object of this blame game? The object is to see how many people and circumstances you can point the finger at without ever looking at yourself. It's really fun for the victims. So that's your first clue that you have a poor person, or that we have a poor person mindset. If you are blaming, you are the victim always. You are always the victim. They blame the economy. They blame the government. They blame the stock market, their broker. Blame anybody around them, because it's really fun. Their object is to see how many people they can blame. Okay, so that's the first clue that you are stepping into a poor person mindset of life happens to me. All right, here's the next clue. Here we go. Victim clue number two, justifying. You justify everything. And if you're a victim, you're not blaming. That was the first clue. You're going to be justifying or rationalizing your situation by saying something like, oh, we're talking about finances. Money's not that important, okay? But I wrote down this question. Let me ask you this question, okay? If you said that your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your partner or friend weren't all that important, would any of them be around for very long? I don't think so. And neither will your money. Okay, that was a huge aha moment for me. I have said that before. Money isn't all that important. But let me read you this question again, okay? If you said any of that, if you said my husband's really not that important, or my friend's not really, they're not going to be around very long. It is the same with your money. It is the same with your health. We talk about these four big topics. It is the same with your wealth. It is the same with your happiness. If you don't think your happiness, what'd you say?
Love to.
Yeah. If you don't think your happiness is that important, guess what? It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to hang around very long. So that just stuck out to me when I read that earlier, and I wanted to share that with you. Okay? So if you blame or justify, if we blame or justify, we're in a poor mindset. Number three, there's a third one. Can you believe it? Three clues to know that you're on the wrong side of the thinking coin. And I bet you've already guessed it, okay? Victims do this. They complain. We complain. So it is the absolute worst thing that you can do for your health, for your worth, for your relationships. Why are you laughing? Okay.
Right now, and say that he's always broke. That's why he's always broke.
Okay, listen.
Well,
we're being real right now. We are being real. Let's give some shout outs. Is anybody else listening to us today? Because this is real talk, y'all. Real talk.
Yeah, we have a Primero, Max, Raymond, Jorge.
Oh, hey, Samantha. Hey, Raymond. Y'all, this is real, okay? When the hair goes up in a bun like this, you know it's real time, real talk. So, complaining. We are big believers in universal law, okay? And the concept is what you focus on expands. What you focus on expands. So when you're complaining, what are you focusing on, okay? What's right with your life or what's wrong with your life? So you're obviously focusing on what's wrong with it. And since what you're focusing on expands, you're going to keep getting more of what's wrong. Let that sink in for a second. Complaining is the worst, and it makes us feel so good, doesn't it, when other people blame and justify and complain with us. And when you do this, guys, I wrote this quote down. I love it. It says, you become a living, breathing crap magnet. When you start complaining, let me just blame a second right here. I'm just kidding. But that really makes sense. When you are complaining, you become a crap magnet. There is literal crap that will be flung at you. Okay, when you start the complaining. And here's the other aha moment that I've had, and this is true. You can prove this. Look at any successful person, whether they're successful relationships, go Oprah, whoever that is, that you talk show host, somebody you look up to, Russell Brunson, you know, if you're in the finance world, whatever, whoever your successful person is, if you look at any of these people, this statement I'm about to read is true. There is no such thing as a really rich victim. Oh, he needs you in the bathroom. There is no such thing as a really rich victim because they do not do these things. They do not justify blame or complain. So, if that is you, you're like, oh gosh, I do all three of those things on the daily. What can I do? Okay, what can I do? There are some things you can do. Okay? Number one, every time you find yourself doing one of these things, blaming or justifying or complaining, slide your finger, okay? This would be a really good visual. I heard this and I loved it. Slide your finger across your throat like this every time you do it to yourself as a trigger to remind yourself that you are slitting your own, and then put in blank, financial throat, relationship throat, wealth area, whatever it is. Because every time you do any of those things, blame, justify, complain, you are slitting your own potential, and they call that the figurative financial throat or relationship throat or whatever it may be. So just do that. Okay, that is a really good reminder for you. Number two, you've got to do a debrief. Okay, at the end of each day, you need to write down one thing that went well and one thing that did not. And then write the answer to the following question. How did I create, okay, each of the situations? If others were involved, okay, if somebody else was involved, ask yourself, what was my part in creating the situation? And it's going to help you become accountable. It's going to help you stay accountable. Okay, one second, sorry. Lots of puppy barking over here. So those are just two really easy things that you can do. I love this motion right here because it's like, oh, man, I'm complaining. I am literally cutting off my own throat in whatever that topic is. And then simply, like it said, writing down one thing that went well and one thing that didn't. And then how did you help create those situations? Okay, so that's just kind of a little bit of knowledge that we want to impart with you guys. That's just one way that rich people think differently than middle class and poor people, and that's the first wealth file. There are many. We came up with 17 that were research-based. Tomorrow, just to give you a little sample of the second way that rich people think differently than poor and middle class people, is this, and we'll be talking about it more tomorrow. Rich people play the money game to win. And poor people play the money game to not lose. So I will let you think about that and what that means for tomorrow. And we will be back with you tomorrow. Sorry, Waldo had to go get my son. But it's real life, y'all. It's real talk. I'm sure Waldo will have a lot to say on wealth file number two. Please comment and share. If we can just bring a little happiness and joy along the way, in addition to educating and spreading knowledge of culture and diversity. We are here to do that. Expand your thinking, grow, and love each other, guys, because you only have one life and you gotta live it. Love you guys and see you soon.
Hello. Welcome to the Salsa Knox. How we call it?
Porch
office. I'm Waldo.
And I'm Jackie.
So this is the day number two, rich people think versus poor people think. Jackie's going to read something for us. Para las personas que hablan español, all right, este es una, algo que estamos haciendo nosotros para ayudarnos a nosotros mismos, no para enseñar, bueno, para enseñar, pero más que para ayudarlos a ustedes, es para ayudar a nosotros. Una de las reglas de aprendizaje de más altas o más importante es de que a veces aprender, para aprender mejor, es enseñando al mismo tiempo. So, cuando aprendes algo y después lo enseñas a alguien más, lo aprendes dos veces. Entonces es importante a veces aprender para enseñar. Y también cuando aprendes para enseñar, pones más atención a lo que estás aprendiendo. En lugar de solamente aprender por aprender. So, ahora Jackie va a leeros algo en inglés.
Sí.
Y después I wanna explicar, voy a explicar un poco en inglés
Los
y en
dos.
Español qué significa.
Okay, right? Gracias, mi amor. So, I'm going to say a little bit in English, and he's going to do a little bit in both. So, here we go. Tip number two, okay, about rich people thinking versus poor people thinking. We're kind of doing the study on that. We're trying to change our mindset. All right. This is not just about having $1 billion. It's about changing your mindset. Okay. Poor person thinking versus wealthy person thinking. And Waldo's going to talk to you a little bit here in a second about how that goes cross-cultural. All right. And what that means for him a little bit as well. So here is tip number two to figure out if you have a rich mindset or a poor mindset. Rich people, all right, according to research, play the money game to win. Rich people, now we're talking about money today. We can talk about other topics like relationships and health and happiness. But today we're going to try to model it with finance, with money. So tip number two is that rich people play the money game to win. And poor people play the money game to not lose. Let me repeat that for you again. Rich people play the money game to win, and poor people play the money game simply to not lose. So what does that mean? Okay. In the mindset of a poor person, all right, here is their goal, generally speaking, and this is backed up through lots of research, but their goal, and I wrote this down so I could remember, all right, is to have enough money to pay the bills. Like, that's the poor mindset. I need enough money just to pay the bills. And we can attest to this because in the past, that has been our goal. Yeah. I just want to pay my bills, okay? That is a poor mindset. If that's the way you think month to month, poor mindset. All right. Well, again, all right, it's the power of intention. When your intention is to have enough money to pay the bills, that's exactly how much you're going to get. Enough to pay the bills and not die more. Middle class people, going a step above. Middle class people, they go one step further. All right? See if you agree with this. And it's a kind of a tiny step. Their big goal in life, middle class, also happens to be their favorite word in the whole wide world. Okay, middle class people love this word. I know. I love this word too. All right? It's the word comfortable. And there's a huge difference between being comfortable and being truly rich. Okay, so basically, comfortable, it's nice. Maybe you can go out to some decent restaurants, but when you go out to those decent restaurants, you're probably ordering chicken, you're probably still looking at the prices, you're probably never going to order anything at the bottom of the menu that reads market price, are you? Because you know you probably can't afford it, and so you don't even ask, okay? So that's middle class. You love that word, comfortable. Rich people, on the other hand, okay, they are truly rich. So they're going to order off the menu, whatever they want, all right? So let me see where I wrote this down. Okay, one of the best things about going to that next level of being rich is not having to look at the prices on the menu. You're going to eat what you want, regardless of price. And it boils down to your goal. If your goal is to be comfortable, chances are you are never going to get rich. But if your goal is to be rich, chances are you'll end up mighty comfortable. So again, if you've got that poor mentality, your goal in life is just to simply pay your bills. That's how you think. That's how you've been conditioned. If you're middle class, you really love that word comfortable. You love that. I just want to be comfortable. I want to be able to go out to eat. You know, you're probably still going out to the some restaurants and looking at prices and what you can afford. But when you become truly rich in a rich mindset, literal and figurative, you're not going to look at prices. You're going to do and you're going to buy what it is that you want. So, sorry, you can see our son swinging in the background. That's funny. He's over here like swinging. Anyway, so that's the wealth principle. If your goal is to be comfortable, chances are you'll never get rich. But if your goal is to be rich, chances are you're going to be mighty comfortable. So I'm going to let Waldo talk a little bit about his thoughts behind this and where he comes from and how that applies to his thinking. He's got some great words of wisdom. So Waldo, what do you have to say about all that?
All right, guys. Let's first define why we love to be comfortable, right? That's how our brain works. That's because, you know, when was in the Capes a long time ago, thousands of years, right? Everything was about surviving, right? We need to survive. Right? So, So back in the day, you know, you need to survive. So you have like animals chasing you, maybe. So
Yep.
one of the things our brain used to work at the time is like remember always the danger areas, so to make sure no one eat you, you know, like a tiger or something. So our brain develops as a way to survive. So your brain is trained to keep you alive. This day we don't have tiger chasing us. So a way to survive is always to looking for the safe places, the safe zones.
Sorry for lots of barking. Sorry for lots of
It's
barking.
okay. That's the comfortable area. So the comfortable area is when you feel safe. So your brain is trained still today to keep you in a safe area, but now things change, right? So we don't have tigers or dinosaurs or whatever animals they used to back in the day watch our backs all the time. Now, just to do something like it's out of ordinary because uncomfortable, so for the brain is danger. So the brain always gonna tell you to don't do that, right? So something that you don't feel okay, right? But the problem in these days, right? Be uncomfortable is a place where you're never gonna grow. Right? The only way you can grow is be outside of the comfortable zone. It's the only way you can do this. So sometimes do things that feel unsafe, it doesn't mean that's bad. Right? Of course, you're gonna watch your back. You don't wanna go to Las Vegas and try to win something. You gotta do it the smart way. So it's always the right way to do things. Now, a way to you can change thing is just to ask the way you ask a question. If you are poor and you need to buy something, that it can help you like a course, something an online course. They wanna help you to learn it to grow in a specific area. So let's say I don't know, you wanna learn how to improve your finance, or you wanna like self-educate yourself. So course costs money. Especially the best one. So, if a poor person wants to grow, but then go to internet trying to find a course, the first question the poor minds ask is, or the first phrase that we say is that I cannot afford this. That will be the more common question that, or phrase that any poor mind would say. The rich mind, it would ask a different question. It was a question would say, how can I afford this? Right?
Wait, can I stop you for a
Sure.
second? Sorry to interrupt. So what you're saying, just to kind of put this into perspective, is that maybe we've been asking the wrong question. Maybe our whole life we've been conditioned, like we talked about in previous webinar, to ask or to say to ourselves, "I can't do this because I can't afford it." That word "can't,"
It means you can
I
do it.
can't. And then maybe if we simply change the question to "How can we afford it?" to
What you
that
can
"can."
do to afford
That's so
anything.
interesting. That's an aha moment.
So when you ask the question of how can I afford this, right, it opens up possibilities. When you say I can afford this, just from the same phrase, you say you block everything. So it's nothing can be done. But when even you don't have the money, when you say how can I afford this, you put your imagination to try to figure out how you can afford whatever you want to achieve. And let's say talk about goals, right? So how can I get to this goal versus say I cannot reach this goal? So sometimes asking that question can open your brain to possibilities to actually reach things, right? Reach growth or goals or anything, right? So that's a way you can change your setup of mind between the poor way to see the world, the rich way to see the world. And a poor rich view is not about how much you have, it's just how you face life. Simple like that, right? So that's one of the things you can start changing the way you think, right? You will see that just by asking a question like this one, you can change the whole setup or the way you see the world. Most of the time, we always see that we cannot do anything is because our brain is trying to keep us safe. But fortunately, if you want to grow, you want to improve your health, your wealth, your happiness, you have to be in the uncomfortable zone. That's the only place you have the opportunity to grow. If you don't do that, you're always going to stay in the same place that you are. Even you complain all the time about being in that position. So let's say you are in a position that you don't like, all you do is complain. That's not helping you to grow. But something that you never, most of the time you don't do, they're going to put you uncomfortable. Can't you take you out from the way you are?
Wow.
Yeah, grow is in the uncomfortable zone, always.
Let me repeat what you just said, because that's been really powerful to me. Like, you're only going to grow in the uncomfortable zone. You're never going to grow if you're always comfortable.
Yes.
That is powerful. That is so powerful. You want to say that
yeah.
in Spanish?
Para la gente que habla en español, ¿verdad? Estamos haciendo estas pláticas, por decirle así, es cómo tú puedes crecer. Nosotros pensamos que hay cuatro áreas que tú puedes mejorar en tu vida para ser feliz. Y una es la felicidad. ¿Qué es lo que te hace personalmente a ti feliz? ¿Qué es actividades o cosas que tú haces que te hacen personalmente feliz, no a los, tu familia o cualquier estar alrededor? Lo que realmente te hace feliz. Eso es uno. Dos es tu economía, ¿verdad? ¿Cuánto dinero haces o produces que te pueda ayudar a sentirte bien, ¿verdad? Y no siempre estar preocupado si puedes pagar los biles o cosas por el estilo. So, lo que haces tu riqueza, por decirlo de una manera. Tu salud. That's the way. The tercera es no importa cuánto dinero. All right. Sorry, that's you. All right.
Un momento, por favor.
So, tu riqueza sería una de otras. Tu salud es una muy importante. Y no importa qué tan rico tú seas o qué tanto dinero tú tengas, si tu salud es mala, nunca vas a ser feliz. Right? Así es de simple. Right? So, y la otra, tu relación con tus familiares, digamos tu esposa, tus hijos, tus padres, hermanos, esa sería otra zona. O sea, son cuatro zonas de que nosotros pensamos que si las mejoras ayudaría a cualquier persona a ser feliz. Es tu economía, tu salud, el tipo de relación que tienes con tus familiares más cercanos, como tus padres, tus hermanos, tu esposa. O tu esposo, ¿verdad? Y se me olvidó la otra, y tu felicidad, tu propia felicidad, ¿verdad? Son cosas que tú puedes hacer en cualquier otro día que te hace a ti personalmente feliz, ¿verdad? No para ser feliz a otros, lo que a ti realmente te hace ser feliz. Como a nosotros nos encanta bailar, entonces bailar es algo que nos hace muy felices, eso es algo que nos gusta hacer todos los días, ¿verdad? Pero eso es algo que personalmente a mí, en especial, me hace muy feliz. Entonces, yo trato de hacerlo todos los días. Entonces, yo estoy seguro que todos tenemos cosas que hacer que nos hacen feliz. So, si quieres ser realmente feliz en tu vida, necesitas mejorar esas cuatro áreas. Porque piénsalo. Digamos que tienes mucho dinero, pero si por tu salud estás tan gordo que no te puedes salir de tu casa, a mí no vas a ser feliz. Del otro lugar, tienes mucha salud, haces ejercicio todos los días, pero you broke, like, no tienes nada de dinero, tampoco vas a ser feliz. Right? O les digamos, tienes mucho dinero y estás muy saludable, pero siempre estás peleando con tu esposa o tu esposo. Entonces tampoco todo el tiempo vas a ser feliz. Si tienes todo, tienes dinero, tienes mucha salud, estás bien con tu esposa, pero tienes problemas con tus padres y tus hermanos, tampoco vas a ser completamente feliz. So, si nosotros te estamos dando consejos de cosas que nosotros hacemos, no te estamos tratando de enseñar estas cosas que nosotros estamos haciendo para mejorar nuestras vidas, y lo estamos compartiendo aquí en línea, a lo mejor puede ayudar a alguien, y eso nos haría muy feliz, de que nosotros nos estamos ayudando a nosotros mismos. Nos estamos educando a nosotros mismos mediante información en que encontramos en línea, y después lo aplicamos en nuestras vidas, y cada vez que encontramos algo que nos ayuda a crecer y a mejorar nuestras vidas, la compartimos con otros, porque tal vez esto pueda ayudarle a alguien más a compartir. Ahorita lo que estamos hablando es la mentalidad, cómo la gente piensa, cómo la gente rica piensa en contra de cómo la gente pobre piensa, ¿verdad? So, encontramos que es muy interesante que a veces por el modo de ver la vida,
cambia del modo de que nosotros nos vivimos. Y una de las cosas importantes que pensamos son los hábitos. Hábitos es la más importante forma de mejorar o empeorar tu vida. So, una manera de estos días para mejorar es esta. Trata de, si tienes tiempo, trata de crear un perfil de tu persona. Y sé realista, tú no te puedes mentir a ti mismo. Y dice, no es algo que necesitas compartir, nada más esto es para personal para ti. Crea un perfil de tu persona, descríbete en papel. Y pon todos los objetivos de tu que te describen para saber en dónde te encuentras ahorita mismo. Esto solo si deseas crecer. So, a veces ver las cosas en papel te va a ayudar a ver si realmente estás creciendo o estás atorado en algo. Puedes hacer una lista de 4 nombres y haz la lista de tu riqueza, tu salud, la relación con tu esposa o tu familia más cercana y tu felicidad. So, tienes esas 4 objetivos, ¿verdad? Después, pon una lista en cada uno y trata de describir cómo te sientes. Digamos, en tu riqueza, puedes poner cuánto dinero haces al año por ahora. Pues sí lo pongo. Cada año. Después, ¿haces ejercicio o no haces ejercicio? Lo pones ahí. ¿Cómo es tu relación con tu esposa? ¿Está bien? ¿Está más o menos? ¿Está mal? ¿Cómo es tu relación con tus hijos y tus papás y tus hermanos? En el último, haces cosas que te hacen feliz, ¿va? O no haces nada, todo lo que haces es trabajar todo el tiempo, ¿va? No tienes hobbies, cosas que te entretienen. Una vez que creas eso, después trata de crear otra lista de los mismos, o crea de las cosas que te gustaría tener. So, si pusiste aquí que haces, no sé, $50,000 al año, pon aquí en tus sueños de que a lo mejor tú quieras hacer lo doble, $100,000 al año. Y después describes cada que tienes esto aquí, lo pones acá, cómo te gustaría tener. De ese modo tienes 2. Uno, cómo estás, y uno, cómo tú quisieras estar. Los puedes pegar en tu espejo o donde lo veas todos los días. Y después, cuando haces eso, es más fácil hacer plans. ¿Cómo mejorar de donde estás a donde tú quieres llegar? Y el modo que lo haces es esto. Del modo que estás ahorita es el resultado de los hábitos que haces todos los días. So, en la única manera que vas a crecer es cambiando esos hábitos para llegar a estos hábitos y te va a transformar aquí. Porque este es el modo que trabaja. Los hábitos... Tú mismo creas tus propios hábitos, pero después los hábitos crean el tipo de vida que tienes. So, la única manera que vas a cambiar tu tipo de vida es cambiando tus propios hábitos. So, siempre hay maneras de crear simples hábitos muy simples que te van a ayudar a crecer. Por ejemplo, leer. Leer libros es una de las mejores maneras para crecer. Pero antes de leer, una de las maneras más importantes y las personas más grandes en economía o salud de todo, la única manera de que son tan grandes, todos tienen un entrenador, coach. Todos tienen un mentor, ¿verdad? So, una de las maneras más rápidas de crecer es encontrar un mentor. Alguien que está viviendo la vida que tú deseas vivir, ¿verdad? Hay muchas personas allá afuera que les gusta enseñar. Y no, libros son escritos por mentores. So, muchos de los mentores que escribieron buenos libros el día de hoy ya murieron. So, a buena manera de que tú puedes encontrar un coach es estudiando los libros de personas que se dedican específicamente a la manera de crecer como personas. Entonces, todo lo que tienes que hacer es encontrar un buen libro. Simple, vete a Google. Google es una de las mejores herramientas que tenemos hoy en día. Encuentra el de top 10, los 10 mejores libros de cómo mejorar en las 4 áreas. So, lee un libro, digamos, quieres crecer tu economía, busca un libro que te va a ayudar cómo crecer tu economía. O después te enfocas en eso, creces, después un libro cómo crecer en tu relación. No quieres comprar, es muy bien, vete a YouTube. YouTube está lleno de millones de videos, lo mismo, cómo mejorar. Pero leer es uno de los mejores hábitos para crecer. Mucha gente no lee. Es muy común que las personas de hoy en día solo leen cuando mucho un libro al año. Y hay personas que no leen nada. So, imagínate el cambio de tu vida será si puedes leer un libro al mes. En lugar de no leer nada o nada más ver los domingos fútbol. Todos tenemos tiempo. Si puedes leer 5 minutos todos los días, 5 minutos, es muy sencillo. Todos tenemos 5 minutos. Estoy seguro que te vas al baño y tienes ahí más de 5 minutos. Si te encuentras un libro que te puede ayudar a crecer y lo pones en el baño y cada vez que vas ahí lees por lo menos 5 minutos de todos los días, te aseguro que vas a leer un libro en menos de un mes. So, leer, y si haces eso, vas a leer 12 libros al año. Eso te va a ayudar a crecer. La gente más importante y más grandes en mentalmente o en economía leen por lo menos un libro por semana, mínimo. So, si quieres crecer, tienes que leer. So, si creas ese hábito, puedes crecer muy rápido. Y nada, para crear un hábito no requiere mucho tiempo. En 3 semanas que lo hagas constante, se va a crear el hábito. Ya después no vas a tener que convencerte para hacerlo. Lo haces todos los días y se va a convertir en hábito. Una vez que conviertes un hábito, el hábito después te va a convertir tu vida en algo. So, para mejorar. Y eso es algo. Bueno, chicos, no lo quiero hacer esto muy largo. Entonces, muchas gracias por escucharnos y adiós.
Adiós.